Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for joining me this Tuesday night for the Letterhouse Bible Enrichment Hour. We're certainly glad that you could take time out your busy schedule or while you are winding down for the evening to join us and get ready for some good word from Dr. Shelton Carter. We want to invite you to come on and dial in at 310-982-4126. If you're listening by cyberspace or computer, we want you to come on in on the line and listen in live tonight. So we're inviting you to do that. First of all, I want to start out by saying good afternoon or good evening to you. We want to give a shout out to our partners, Sister Beverly Beasley, first of all, who sponsors this show through Granny's Place, and her pastor, Reverend Terry, at the First Free Will Baptist Church, and also my pastor of the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church, Michael Morgan, and my husband, Minister Joel Lewis, and to Dr. Carter of the Ladder House in Los Angeles, who will be bringing us that word this evening. So I hope everybody has had a good day and everything was good for you because the Lord has been blessing. You know that this was the day, is the day that the Lord has made, and we should have been glad and in it, because he's so good, he's so marvelous, he's so wonderful for just keeping us throughout the day. He protected us going to and fro and on our jobs, and he found favor, let us find favor today, and everything that we did, it was just a wonderful, wonderful day. God is just so good and faithful like that. And I want to open the show with What the Ladder House is All About. So I'm going to go ahead and share that with you. We are a people predestined to restore virtue in a society bearing of spiritual and moral excellence through a message of the gospel of the kingdom of God, primary of the Holy Spirit. It is our inner desire to join a diverse generation of the purpose of connecting and developing other champions. In a technological advanced society, we deliberately create platforms, social events, seminars, conventions, and fellowships in which the wounded and unusually gifted can find aid and a place of appreciation. Our aim is to continuously create an environment of love, unity, faith, and victory in which all men can discover the champion within. We invite you to be a part of this important project. Prayerfully consider partnering with us as we build a platform where the nature of God can freely be experienced and expressed by all. For more information, please send all email inquiries to thelhnwork@gmail.com for any questions you may have. Predestined to restore, that's Dr. S.D. Carter, founder and national director for the Los Angeles and Dallas area. We are so glad to have him, host him on the Granny's Place Blog Talk this evening and every evening. We are so glad he is partnered with us to join in spreading the word of God. We just love to share with him and have him share with us, and because of the anointing that's on his life, it is just such a marvelous time that we have together. And we also come together every morning at 8 o'clock Central Time, and it's 6 8 o'clock, I think, Pacific time, for the Breakfast of Champions. So it's so wonderful to be able to join in with people of God for the Ladder House, and they come together and share and testify, and then we get those great health tips from Sister Shanine. So we're just blessed each and every morning at 6 o'clock Pacific and 8 o'clock Central time, and we just thank God for the opportunity to be joined in with them and just be a partner in fellowship and love on each other and share our days and start our days off really, really well. You know, it's just a blessing. I see we have some more callers coming on the line here. I want to just say hello to everybody that's joined us this evening. We ask that you go ahead and say hello to us. The floor is open. Can you hear me, caller?
Hello, how you doing? This is Sister Velma calling from Dallas.
Hi, Sister Velma, how are you?
Yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
I am. I was on my Facebook page, and the song came up, The Blood Still Works, and that was Buffy's favorite church songs, like when we would, you know, worship together. And so, but when our church sing it, oh, they sound so amazing. They sound like this choir. And first I was just sitting here, I was just listening to it. And then I got into it, and then I started singing it. Then I'm just like, wow, you know. So I just really love that, because the blood still works, you know. Mm-hmm. You just got to believe it and apply the blood. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. No weapon formed against you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I just,
yes.
I just love it.
Amen. Yes, the blood still works. That is one of my favorite songs too. I just can't imagine not having that blood cover me. I just can't imagine being without it. Yes, because it just
covers. I like how they break it down. The men are there part, and the women, and then because I don't know the altos from the sopranos and all that, but when it just go in sync like that, oh Lord, that's just a beautiful. It's like when you really just listen to it and you really let it marinate in that heart, you can't be still with that song. And if you can, you know, we're going to continue to pray for you. But, baby,
yes.
I guess they be looking for me. They like, oh, here she come. Yes, here I come.
Because if you can stand still, if you can be still on that, there's something wrong with you. It ain't something ain't right, huh?
That's real.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you for sharing that with us this evening. I see we have another caller has come in on the line. Is that my friend, my sweet sister, Shanae? Can you hear me?
Good evening. Good evening, Ladder House.
Amen.
Granny Place.
Amen. How are you this evening?
Busy. I'm busy, but it's a great blessing to be able to be busy.
Amen. Amen.
Count it all joy.
Yes, count it all joy. We were just talking about the blood still works.
Yes, it does. Amen.
Which is a beautiful thing. I can't imagine not being covered back. That's one thing. Yes, it is so wonderful. No. So would you like to say hello and give a shout-out to anyone while you're on the line? The floor is open.
Well, besides my lovely Ladder House family, I just thank and praise God for you guys and just our commitment to the work and the things that are going on in the ministry, not just now, but always. It's a blessing to be able to hear you and just share in the praises and, you know, just the family stuff, and appreciate family stuff. And I just thank God for that. I don't know who's all on the line, but I thank God for that and the ability to always, you know, looking out for your family, you know, whether they're newly added or whether they're seasoned family members, they're all family members, and we are all important in understanding our work and understanding how we connect and being able to connect and love on each other and share in the gifts that various ones of us have. Be able to be a whole working, functioning body is a blessing, and I thank God just for that mindset. We are learning. We learn to look forward to miracles, not just today or every day. We look for miracles, and we get what we look for. We get what we prepare for. We learn how to speak those things into existence. We learn how to intercede on behalf of each other. It's great. It's just a great experience, and I just thank God for the extended family that I have here at the Ladder House.
Amen. I was just, when I opened up, I was just telling our audience how much of a joy it is for us to be able to all come together in the morning and fellowship one with another and share our days and testify with each other and just have a good time in the morning. It starts my day off real wonderful, although I don't get to say much in the morning, but it's just a wonderful thing knowing that we can all come together and love on each other and start the day off with just love and encouragement and the tips that you give on our health. And yes, it's just wonderful to be able to do that. It's a beautiful thing, and I truly enjoy it. I was upset this morning because I couldn't get in. I don't know what was going on with me or if it was the line, but it didn't sit well with me today. I felt like I missed out on something. I was lost, or it just wasn't right. I needed my breakfast.
Yeah, well, breakfast is we've all been raised with it being the most important meal of the day. I'm finding that the Breakfast of Champions being hosted by the Ladder House of the New Day Call is just as vital, and apologize for the convenience of the call this morning. There was some technical difficulties had with our switchboard operator, so I do apologize for that. It was not you. But, you know, okay. Missing the family, you know how you get up in the morning, you go to breakfast and you look for people, you go to hear, you want to hear and see and just say good morning and get that pump, you know, go out and conquer the world, go out and do what you're supposed to do, you know, go out and do that thing, you know, everybody's rallying together. And then it's like, okay, did I miss them? Did they got out early today? You know, sometimes you have to get out a little bit early before family, depending on what's going on with your day. You missed the breakfast and you're like, wow, it's a you know, you got them with you, but you just wish you would have had the opportunity to meet with them or share with them in that morning. So we miss you guys, too. It was just one of those days today. But we thank God that, you know, we have each other. We have the Spirit, and we are connected spiritually, and the person of the Holy Spirit is free to rule and lord over our lives in every situation. So we don't miss a beat, but we get to understand the importance of our connect.
Amen, amen. And it was certainly, you know how you know they say if you do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit. I think it's more than just a habit right now. I just need it. You know, you just need your people. You need for them to speak into you. You need to hear everybody's voice. You know, and Sister Velma, she just, if I don't hear her voice in the morning time, it seems like something is missing. If I don't hear your voice, or Sister Carolyn, or Sister Tanya, it wants somebody.
Right.
I just need to hear my family in the morning. I felt so like something was missing. You know, it was just.
I understand. But once I saw the technical issue going on, it was quite. It was different, but it was a bit more understandable because I know I'm like, you know, you're like always thinking if something happens or if you don't hear a certain person's voice, you know, immediately upon, you know, leaving the call or, you know, while you're on the call, you might be texting, is everything okay? You know, what's going on? What do we need to do right now? You know, because you're looking out for your family and we have that connect and that's so great because we're understanding the importance of fellowship and understanding how the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, has been able to flow freely in that fellowship because, you know, the walls are down and people are being able to communicate. They're not so rigid in the ritualisticness of the local assembly, and, you know, we got to pray this amount of time, we got to sing this song, we got to take offering, do that, but we're able to share, and even sometimes, you know, to redirect it, because sometimes we might come to the call and have some challenges where we are learning how to, you know, there's something that's going on, or something happened at work. And we can always get that the devil has no business with me. And sometimes that's like, it feels like it's as strong as some people try to use curse words. It's like, no, you don't understand. Because you know the authority and the person in which the Lord brought that information to us.
Come on.
And the way she stands and how strong she is. You're like, you feel like you got the body of the Holy Spirit through Sister Velma, and you stand in your ground and you see like, because you don't know what we've been through. You don't know the experiences that we have as a body. We got all these areas covered, and this is not, we're not having this today. You need to straighten up, sit on up, put a smile on your face, do what you got to do, because I'm walking in joy, I'm walking in power. And if my sister can do it, I know I can do it, you know. If she can go, if I can hear her voice, I can hear, see craziness going on and see, you know, it brings a joy, a laugh to your face sometimes, because you're like, if she was right here, she'd be saying the same thing. So it's just, it's so important. I mean, if people watch movies and you see how families get be able to sit down and talk and just have that morning thing, and, you know, some people have Sunday dinner and are able to connect with their families, but being able to connect every day, Monday through Friday, with our family, our church family, our visionary, and just the people part of the vision that are added to the vision, you glean, you gain something, you feel a little bit stronger. It's like, you know, you go to the fight and the whole host of heaven is with you, and everybody in the family knows this. You know, it's not just, you're not the only person to know the whole host of heaven is with you, but your sister on the left, on the right, your brothers in the back, in the front, we all know that thing. We're not just, it's not just us. When you look at us, you can't see nothing but angels. I mean, as far as you can see, you see the angels round about us. We understand that, and we stand on that. So it's great being able to have that morning, that breakfast call.
Yes, amen.
Yes, ma'am, amen. Yeah, I see we have some others that have joined us. Does anybody have anything else they would like to express? The floor is open. Anybody want to say anything to just testify or give a praise report or just let us hear your voice? Anybody? Somebody? Okay, well, the floor is open to
yes,
you.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. This is, this is them again. I just want to give a praise report of how awesome and how mighty the God we serve, okay? My daughter, Shawn, she had her surgery today. That procedure was done. Anytime, like I said before, you put sleep, you need to recognize that that's considered major surgery. Although the procedure wasn't necessarily major, it was just the fact that you were put to sleep. And As Sister Tanya was praying and ushering in the angels, releasing the angels to minister to Shawn as she was under, and they did just that. And she's home. She's okay. She's up, moving around. Her dad came by, and he was like, "Girl, you had no surgery. Walk around here looking like that." I said, "That's what I'm talking about." And the nurse that she had said, "Well, it's important that, just excuse me, but this is what he said, that she urinates today, and it'll probably be like, if it look like it's more than 8 hours, then we might need to look into it." Honey, before we can leave that place, good. "Mama, could you pull over, baby? I got to use the bathroom." I was like, "What?" So everything about this situation, her circumstances, ain't nothing like what the doctor said, because, you know, they did their part, and God is showing up and doing his part. So I said, "Baby, in the future," you go, "you know how when you start healing, you get the itching and stuff?" I was getting right around here to me, "Yes, I'm well now." But I just thank God. I really do. I just,
praise God.
I praise him. I give him all the glory and honor and praise, because he is worthy to be praised. And And, you know, my brother was just sitting here. He was like, man, what do you not talk to God about? I said, I talk to him about everything because I trust
everything.
Him. He said, look to him, look to him. You know,
okay.
So that's just how it goes. So, like I said, I wouldn't even claim when I say if I put a piece of gum in my mouth, you know, whatever. See, we worry about what go in, but what come out is just as important.
Okay.
So, and then when I went back and she was saying that she had, she thought she had an encounter with her sister and whatever, you know, Buffy. And so when she was coming out from under, she was crying real hard. And so I told the doctor, I said, she's just grieving. She missed her little twin sister. And he said, oh, that's understandable right there. He said, but she's a very strong young lady. I said, yes, sir. That's the only way you can be with God.
Amen.
You said that awesome, mighty God, you know that he makes us, he builds us strong, you know, so we can stand.
Amen.
You know, but all knowing that it's not just us doing it, it's, you know, it's God the whole time now. You know, so I just want to share that with you guys because I know we had asked for prayer this morning. And Kai is here with me, petting on me now because when I start talking about God, he come a running.
Amen. Thank you for the babies. Thank you.
This Kai.
Hey, Kai, how you doing?
Blessed. You say I'm good.
All right.
All right, Kai.
Well, thank God for the babies.
Amen. Thank
you. Amen.
Woo.
All right, Shanae. You want to give us your contact information?
In and out. What the contact information for the LH Network?
Yes, and for the morning call and everything.
Oh, sure thing. Well, we meet every Monday through Friday with the Ladder House New Day call, 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. That phone number is 605-475-4001. The passcode is 286890. Again, the phone number for our New Day call, which is every Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, is 605-475-4001. The passcode is 286890. We meet every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. in Los Angeles, California at 1745 West Vernon Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 90062. Come and be with us in our worship experience. We are afforded the opportunity to have a local assembly where we are able to worship collectively, and you get to embody the things that we are able to do on the call. Just be able to see and connect with one another, touch and just love on each other personally. We also have an email address. That's thelhwork@gmail.com. Our email address is thelhwork@gmail.com. We ask that those that have the opportunity, take the opportunity and just send us an email. Tell us how things are working for you, how the Ladder House has helped you out, the things that you have learned and experienced with the Ladder House. If you like information on our other activities that we are being involved with, if you want information on how to sew and where to sew, please, please, please email us at thelhwork@gmail.com. Please take note that our email address has changed, and our administrative team will be able to contact you or get back with you in a timely fashion if your email requires a response. Also, we are on Facebook at Our Ladder House Network, and we ask you to like us on Facebook. There, in liking us, you're able to follow along with the various different things that Dr. Carter is being recorded to do. You can join in with that he's able to share and be a part of the works that way as well, too. It's always a learning experience, interacting and fellowshipping with the team and the Ladder House Network and being part of the experiences and the things Dr. Carter afforded to teach or the teachers that he brings us. It's always something you can learn, always something you can glean, always a way that you can tweak yourself and just add things to that in which God has given you to become a better you. So we enjoy, as you heard, our morning fellowships and the like powwows that we're able to do. Those of us that are, have been or are in the workforce, sometimes you get together, the heads of the office and certain committees, we get together and just, you know, strategize and get pumped up and understand what the goal is for that day. We are afforded the opportunity to do so in our Breakfast of Champions, our new day call, strategize and get pumped up, get ready for kingdom work on that day, and how to tweak, how to become more effective, how to do the things that God's calling us to do, spirit, soul, and body. We learn how to be a whole individual, how to balance ourselves, understanding the stresses and how to balance that out, understanding the importance of taking inventory and being mindful of everything you do, your mindset, your body, the releasing the Holy Spirit to lord over you, and how you have to take that authority. Dr. Carter is good at reminding us, it's not what people say, it's what you answer or what you say. So you have to be careful to what you answer to. You don't answer to the negativity. You choose your battles wisely. He always tells us, don't fight a battle where there is no spoil, where you're not getting anything from that. You're not gleaning anything. That's nothing won from that. It's just a bunch of words or a bunch of things happening. You have to take inventory. And then we're learning, too, that, you know, what is this particular battle for? Some people just have the thing that they're going through, whatever they're going through, and they're lashing out. As another person said, they're dumping their trash. And you have to understand it's not personal. It's just this particular person's way of getting from that level they need to get to, getting that stuff off of them to the next level. So you have to watch your mindset. He always teaches us that. Make sure you're careful of what you're doing and how you're doing it, and do it as unto the Lord. That way, you know, you're covered and their stuff is not rubbing off on you. And don't hang around with the people that choose to live in their trash or hang around with negativity, because that stuff will rub off on you too. So we have to take inventory and be conscious of what's going on and show love in all situations, and understanding it's a level of power in being able to be at peace and show love and walk in victory. It's a level of power. It's our authority. It's not a weak state. It's not a submissive state. It's a power, and teaching us about that power. So it's a great time and a great opportunity. Each and every person that has the opportunity to come to the call, please, please do so. With that, I turn it back over to Sister Lewis.
Amen, amen. Thank you for those words of encouragement. And we just thank you, Shanae. I see Dr. Carter is ready and available. Get your pens and your paper and get ready to hear the man of God. He's got a word for us. Good evening, Dr. Carter. You have the floor.
Good evening. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right.
Can everybody hear him?
I don't want to be too distant. Amen.
Actually, he's faint.
No,
you're faint, sir.
All right. All right. All right.
Is that any better?
Yeah, you was kind of hollow.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, much better.
Yeah, I have you on speaker. Speaker tonight. I had you on speaker. And so I will hold the line. Just easier on speaker. Praise the Lord to everyone that was present this morning. Bless your hearts for being present. Pray that the Holy Spirit fills your hearts and that you encourage one another in love and faith to go to the next level and be all that God is moving and pushing and urging and admonishing you all to do and to become. Thankful again for this opportunity of grace that's been bestowed unto me. And so I pray that tonight will equally and abundantly take us to another level with him. Amen. That we can hear him more clearly. I want to share tonight, amen, out of Matthew 17, I believe it is. Yeah, Matthew 17. Yes, Matthew 17. Chapter 17 is the gospel as recorded by Matthew. Is what we'll be sharing tonight. I don't know if there's anyone that is unmuted tonight. But it always helps me to understand and to know that you're there. And I know oftentimes we like to chime in and chime out our amens. But when we do that, sometime that amen is distracting because it's not coming in. It's more like to say, hey, I'm here, opposed to what's going on. And so if someone could be present, that would be great.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Matthew 17.
Got it.
And when you got it, say, I've got it.
I've got
Matthew
it.
Matthew 17.
Verse number 2. Verse 1 And verse 1 says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until you see the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first, and he will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless you and I give you praise, glory, and honor for all things that you have done, all things that you are doing, and all things that you shall do. I thank you, Father, that your unlimited grace, Father, surpasses all understanding, and therefore it moves and it works and it protects and it guides and it gives us the ability to do things we could not do without that grace. And we say, Lord, thank you for grace tonight. Thank you for the abundance of grace, Lord. We thank you for your power, your majesty, your might, your increase, and your peace. We thank you now that our ears are being anointed to hear your word. Hear your word so clear, Father, that it makes us feel near to you, and therefore we love you a little more dearly, because when you come, Father, you always come, Father, with such a force that you change our hearts and our minds, illuminate our thoughts and our understanding, and give us ability to do things we couldn't do unless you came. But we say thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, are we present?
Okay, can you hear me?
I hear someone.
Hello?
Okay, yes.
You hear me? Okay, yes. I had to call in on my phone, so let me get Pastor back on the line, okay?
Okay.
Yes,
okay? Okay. Let me tell him you, okay. Call back in. Okay. Could anybody else hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Got you in. Anybody else? Let me know if you can hear me. Sister Velma, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear.
Okay. All right. 6169, can you hear me? Okay,
praise
Pastor,
the Lord.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, ma'am.
I had to call in on my line. Go ahead. We're here.
All right. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is still on the throne. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, Matthew 7. I find our lesson at tonight partly. This passage of scripture that is actually recorded in Matthew 17, you can find it, again, another account of it in Mark's gospel, of this moment where Jesus leads his disciples up, and the Bible says he takes them up on a high mountain. Was not happening, amen. We get the term mountaintop experience. There was a mountaintop experience, with experience that did not happen, wasn't found in the desert or in the valley. It was an experience that happened in the mountains, in this high place. And one of the things that happened in this high place was that Jesus gets this voice, amen. And this voice that is spoken over him is not actually altogether spoken to him. It was a word that was received, thank you, Holy Spirit, that was received on the mountain in the high place in this mountaintop experience that Jesus led disciples up, and it was in that place that this voice came. And this voice was a voice of recognition. It was a voice of affirmation. And it was a voice of confirmation. Recognition, affirmation, and a confirming voice. And it was affirming. It was confirming. And it recognized something not to Jesus, but it was something that was recognized, confirmed, and affirmed about, or actually to, the disciples about Jesus. And Jesus led the disciples up to this high mountain. If I'm leading you, I'm leading you because you are following me. if you're not following me, then I'm not leading you. I may be talking at you, but I'm not talking to you. And if I'm not talking to you, then I'm not shaping anything in you or through you or for you, because I'm not leading you, but you're actually just present. But if I'm leading you, I'm leading you because you're following. And it's always better when someone that you are following, that you are connecting to, are permitting or allowing to cover you. It is something that is not only you're following because there's something recognizable about that person that you see or deem worthy to follow. You understand what I'm saying to you? You deem it worthy enough. You recognize something. If there's nothing that you recognize about the thing, the person, the entity that you are following or submitting to, then you're not. And if you're just present, then you are present in the accompaniment of that moment, because and you become confined to the moment that you are present in, and therefore you are stable in that moment. And I've learned that there are some people, even in ministry, that are okay with being stable with a moment. I want to experience the moment, but I don't want to stay stuck in the moment, because if I stay stuck in the moment, then I'm stuck in that.
Then we go dark again. Hello? Then we go dark again.
Yeah, then Pastor dropped again. What's going on with this line? Because it shouldn't be bad now. Because I'm on my personal line on my phone.
Oh my God.
So I don't know what's going on. Let me see what he's doing. Hold on. Yeah.
For the moment.
Yeah. David Ben?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dr. Carter Beck?
I was just trying to see what our tip was for today.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. We talked about the labeling, the food labels. Actually, I asked some of our family to actually email me or text me some of the food labels so we can, like, dissect it. Just talk about some of the things that people know what they put in their system. Looking for the cleanest version of the things that people like to eat. So I offered to help people, help the family find the things that they're trying to eat, just a better version of that, to add a cleaner version to the diet. Shared about some, you know, the healthier corn chips and things of that nature. I don't know people who all are still eating Dorito type chips or corn chips, but Tostitos has a brand that only has like three to four ingredients, and it still tastes good. My mom is very adamant with her salsas and chips. So I was just sharing that information, finding the cleanest versions of the non-essential ingredients that are put in things. I remember sharing you guys about the Gatorade and the oil and the extra sugars that are added in it, besides the sucralose and the other fructose and other things that are added that you can get the same necessary components from a bottle of water and a banana that they're telling you get from Gatorade. Just those kinds of things, and sharing. And just asking, you know, family to take a hand in it, play a role, and just send me some stuff so we can analyze it and see what's in it and see what's the better version or the better brand is for you if you choose to have that. You can't find a good brand of soda, unfortunately, Sister Velma.
Okay, we have Dr. Carter back on the line.
Amen.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I don't know how long I've been away. I don't know how long
we got. We but we got time. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't know.
Go ahead.
So, talking about being led, when we're led, that the Bible says that Jesus led his disciples up to a high mountain, and it was on that high mountain that they had this experience. And the experience that they had was the experience, a light that came over him, and there also was a light that came out of him. And the light that came out of him was for him. But the light that came over him was for those that followed him. The light was recognized as the glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. And so the people he led saw glory come over him. And they also saw the glory come out of him. Now, the glory that came out of him was for others. Because the glory that came out of him that the disciples witnessed was finally they got a chance to see was really in their leader. It wasn't that it just came over him on any given Sunday, but it was something that came out of him. And it came out of him in this strenuous, strainful, tedious journey uphill. Uphill. Jesus was on an uphill journey, and he gets this cloud of glory that gives witness to who he was, what he was, and it gave them confidence, those that followed him, to trust and believe that we're actually going to end up somewhere. And it's not based upon osmosis, but it's based upon seeing the glory now. The glory now. The Bible says that there was a shadow, there was a cloud that overshadowed them. This light, this glory came out of there. And when they got up there, there was this voice that came. Is anybody there tonight? There was this voice that came. And the voice that came said, this is my son. Hear him. Are y'all there? Hear him.
Amen.
And the reason I'm telling you to hear him is because I am with him. And because I'm with him, you all are coming into an experience that you couldn't come into unless I was with him. And so I'm with him, and the evidence that I'm with him was not just so much that he went up on a strenuous journey, but he made it to the top of the mountain where he could see the glory. The truth of this passage is not so much about Jesus as it was about the disciples. Because God had his hand on Jesus to take him where he was supposed to be. It was already preordained. It was a sign. God was already with him. So when he went up, the Bible says he led his disciples up. He led them. Now notice the ones he led. He led Peter, James, and John. Somebody say Peter, James,
and John.
And John.
So not, he had 12 disciples, and we assume he was leading all of them. We have a whole church full of people. But everybody that comes to the church don't come to this call. Everybody that comes to the church is on the conference line. But you got a whole church full of people. But you got to understand who the disciples are. But not only who are the disciples, but there is this elite group of disciples within the disciples, which means that now we're looking at three groups of people. We're looking at the congregation, the 12, and the three. And those three were sovereignly different. You can identify them, yes, as Jesus' brothers, which means that there was a relationship here. But then also you can see that there's Peter there. And Peter is not a relative. But yet they're following.
And you got to understand when you're going upward, you got people that are in relationship that will go with you. And then you'll have people that are in relationship with you by blood. But then you have people that are in relationship with you by the Spirit. And there are some people that just know you by the Spirit that don't know you as blood. But then there's also those that God has connected to you by way of covenant because of your blood that should be, that goes with you to certain places. In this attempt, Jesus is leading. And again, anybody that is leading because there's someone that is following. If no one is following, then no one is leading. And when we're leading to this intense moment where this glory comes over you, and therefore the glory that comes over you comes out of you, and now the people that you are leading gets to see what actually is in you. Mm. And it's confirming to know that the guy that I was leading, that I was following, especially as I'm going up this tedious journey, it is confirming, it is warm to know, it is welcome, it is absolutely affirming to know that there's some actually in him. See, what the glory came over him, but then the glory also came out of him. And so when it came out of him, it gave those that he was leading an opportunity to finally see what was in their leader. And you don't find what's in the leader on the dry, on safe ground. You find out what's in the leader when you can see that he can make it to the top of the mountain. See, I can talk Jesus all I want, but until I'm able to conquer the mountain, I'm not releasing faith to those that are following because, again, as long as I'm just talking it and not walking it, as long as I am a hearer of the word or a speaker of the word, as a speaker of the word, I got to be a doer of the word too. Paul said this. Mm-hmm. He said, I may preach the gospel, but I myself still got to walk by faith. And so I'm telling you to walk by faith, but then he never walks by faith. How can you trust a leader who never exercised his faith? The writer in Hebrews says it like this. He says, consider those whose faith you follow, not their former conduct, conversation, or lifestyle. In other words, he said their lifestyle is not what you're after. What you're after is their faith.
Right.
After, you know, who they went to the mall with. You know, after who they ate dinner with. You're after their faith, whose faith he says, consider, think about their faith. Let me see their faith. And you understand what I'm saying? And as a leader, God will take you to places that you got to express and show your faith. And it's not necessarily because you're in true, not because you're a bad person, but God has to allow you to experience the situation that you experience in life so that he can connect some people that he's trying to turn inside out.
Okay.
Inside out. He's trying to change them. But how is he going to change them? He's going to change them through your experience. This is what Jesus was going through. He went up on a mountain, and this cloud came over him. And they see the cloud. Oh, God. But it's certainly affirming to know that something that came out of him in that moment. When your teachers go through hard times, this is not the time you want to see them quit. Because when you see them quit, it gives you permission to quit when you go through a hard time.
Right.
This is not the time for the leader to cop out. This is the time that people get to see your faith. And you have to understand, everything you go through as a leader is not all about you. This is the much given, much is required. See, too much is given, much is required. There's a requirement for the given. You're the given one and the gifted one. And as the given one and the gifted one, it is illicit if you teach the people that you can exercise and operate in your gifting without having to operate in your faith. And so you got to understand that, yes, I got a gift, but if I never exercise my faith through my gift, if I never exercise my faith when my gift is not in operation, how can I tell you that you can make it through hard times, hard press, and I really have no witness to that because every time I go through something, I lie down and quit. Or I act like a child and my immaturity shows up and I want to take my toys and run home because I'm immature as a leader. But a real leader will stand up on top of the mountain and say, "What come what will, come what may, let the glory be revealed upon this situation."
Amen.
You have to understand this about, and I'm reminded of the story where the Bible talks about that man that brought his son to Jesus to be healed, but he came across those that was a part of the church. They were just hanging out part of the church. And so when he brought him, he asked him, he brought his kid, and the disciples couldn't cure him. This kid that was infiltrated with demons and devils. And the Bible says that the enemy would convulse him. And Jesus, as a matter of fact, it's in Mark chapter 9, amen, the next place with this same, it's ironic that Matthew 17 records this transfiguration, but also it is found in Mark chapter 9 where this transfiguration is recorded. And in Mark chapter 9, this story is connected, amen, to the same transfiguration where Jesus ends up having a dialogue with this man who brought his son to the disciples. The disciples could not cure him of this demonic infiltration or this demonic episode, if you would, although they identified it was a devil. Hear me with ears. They're the devil, and so they couldn't cure. They couldn't do nothing about it. And Jesus comes and he talks to the Father. And the father says, hey, you know, he starts to talk about the situation. He says, I brought my boy to your disciples. Your disciples couldn't handle the situation. And I understand, you know, now you're going to come over here and try to revive the situation. But you remember, when Jesus was approaching the scene, if you read the story in Mark 9, and I'm paraphrasing because of time's sake. However, when Jesus came across this situation, the Bible said that as he drew near, then the crowd was there watching. The crowd was watching. In other words, this situation was showing out. And we know it did because the Bible says as Jesus drew near, the Bible says that this boy began to convulse, that the devil started to convulse him and toss him to and fro. And Jesus asked the question. He says, how long has this been? It has been long and it has been often. It has been a very long season of this. Devil, whenever he decides, has been causing the situation to convulse whenever he wanted it to convulse, whenever he wanted it to act up, whenever he wanted it to act out. It began to act up and out and act out. It began to do whatever he wanted to do. And so as Jesus coming near, the crowd drew near, and then this boy began to convulse. After this transfiguring moment, what transfiguring moment? The transfiguring moment that the disciples got to hear that this is my son. This is my son in this tough situation. And Peter got a little religious. He said, Lord, do you think we can, is it okay if you would please, sir? You know, this sound like some Baptist deacon. If you would please, if it will be your will, let us build a tabernacle, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we'll even throw one in for you, God. Let us do something that we can manipulate or have part in the will of God. He said, you be quiet right through here. Hear him. This is my beloved son. The confirming voice that came. This is the point you got to hear. Where were they? They were on a high mountain, and they got the voice. It wasn't just any kind of voice. It was a higher and the voice that spoke and was confirming and an affirming voice. But it wasn't one for Jesus. It was one for the disciples. The disciples that were in the same place as the leader. And the disciples that were in the same place as Jesus got a confirmation or a confirming voice concerning their voice. Because God said to the disciples, he says, this is my son, hear him. I know you got a good idea, but the revelation of what you need to do is going to come from him. So be quiet right now and hear him. I'm confirming to you that I am with him in such a pronounced way that I'm going to have him hold his high mountain, and his cloud is overshadowing him, and his light is coming through him. To honestly question who I said he was. He let them up. And God spoke to them in that high place. I asked God years ago, I said, why were they there? The Lord said, because they wanted to be. You, and they'll follow you a little further than those that eat loaves and fish. But when you get ready to go through that tight moment up on that mountaintop, trust and believe, it's only three. And some of the ones that are seemingly unlikely to be the ones end up usually being the ones that are connected to that higher voice. And you have to understand that there's a responsibility for those that are taking part are eating from that voice. Because if you've seen him climb up the mountain, God's going to prove himself through the situation where he said, that's my son. What he's saying is, here's him. Here, led up this mountain just so you can have muscle. No, that muscle that you got is for usage. So therefore, if you're being led up and he's trying to tell you to consider those whose faith you follow, he is trying to say to you that if somebody else is going to be next in line. As a leader, God will allow you to go through what you have to go through so that you can become what it is you're supposed to become, so that others will be able to witness, identify, and observe you so they can get their learning lessons, so that when they go through their experience, they'll be able to reach back and I say, hey, I remember when my pastor went through this. I remember how he responded.
Okay.
I remember how he acted right through here. I know he wanted to, but he didn't cuss.
Hmm.
See, some things you go through are not for you, they're for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a qualifying time. We're in a qualifying season.
Hmm.
What season are we in? I had never, usually at the beginning of the year, I usually hear the Lord tell me what year it is for the people that I minister to.
Mm-hmm.
Year, and where we were at and what was going on as it pertains to a strange election and all that kind of stuff. And I want to know. God spoke to me. And the Lord, I heard him say, it's your year. I said, but wait a minute, God, you're not getting it. I need a word for the people. He said, it's your year. And I said, what do you mean it is my year? He said, it is your year. And your year is a year of transfiguration.
Amen.
He said in 6 days he was transfigured. After 6 days he was transfigured. Anything that's transformed, transforms, changes forms. The form
mm-hmm.
you knew it as won't be the form you witness it to be after the glory has come upon it. So if you're looking for the former form, you won't see the former form because it's being transformed, and anything mm-hmm. that is transformed has been changed, and anything that is changed is never the same.
Right.
It has been transformed. Jesus led his disciples up, and they finally saw what was in them, in him, and not only did they see what was in him, but they too got a word from his experience. And so the experience that changed him didn't just change him, but the experience that changed him changed them.
Mm.
They led up, and they witnessed this light that came over him, and the light that came over him was not like the light that came out of them, but the light that came over him was the light that not only shined on him, but it shined on them.
Hold on, we lost him again. He should be back, he dialing back in just in a minute now. You still there? Hello?
I'm here. This is Tanya.
Okay, I'm trying to get him to dial back in. But he told he the enemy don't want us to get this weird tonight.
Right. Stop.
Hold on, he's coming. Okay, hold on. Family, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Dr. Carter, he says that he's having some difficulties. The enemy is really busy. He's going to continue in the morning, and he will talk to us in the morning. So he told me
yes,
to
ma'am.
Tell you that's what he's going to do. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties we're having tonight. We're just going to pray God's blessings, and we will talk later. In the name of Jesus, we come right now, God, just thanking you for tonight.
Yes,
Father,
you.
We ask that you cast down all the fiery darts of the enemy, dear God. We
yes,
ask that you bless right now in the name of Jesus. Give us
yes,
peace tonight.
Yes.
Give us safe passage yes. to where we are going. God, just let us be out on one accord in the morning when we convene to continue this work and word from
yes.
Dr. Carter. We thank you for it. We thank you for this time, this opportunity. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we're going to say good night. God bless you.
I'll happen right here now.
Amen. Good night.
Good night, y'all. Love you guys.
Good night. Love you, too.
That little cute voice. All right, y'all.